Turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And for the sake of emphasis, I'll read the same two verses over again. Here the Bible says, beginning at verse number 12, reading from the New American Standard, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Hopefully the slide will come up that will show you Philippi, to give you just an idea where Philippi is as the church was established there. Just a little bit of information, bear with me. In October of 42 B.C., Mark Antony and Octavian defeated Roman Republican forces, and he led Brutus and Cassius to two separate battles just west of Philippi. And you can see Philippi on the map. And shortly afterwards, Mark Antony settled many veterans from his army here, and he refounded Philippi as a Roman colony. And when we do literary and archaeological evidence, it suggests that Philippi's population, the people, that they were one of the many Roman colonies on Greek soil, and it was a mixture. It was a mixture of Roman, it was a mixture of local Greek and other Mediterranean people as they blended into this homogeneous urban culture of the empire at that time. And of course, you know that the Apostle Paul came there around 50 AD and founded here the first European community, church community, I should say. Acts chapter 16, you know, there was conversion of Lydia. There was also the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And also it's talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 2. But I thought that since this is Labor Day weekend, I thought that I would talk to you a little bit about sermon on work. Is that all right? The labor movement, you know, is all about workers, their contributions, unions, and etc. But the Apostle Paul told the Philippians to be workers in the most important way. Paul first commends them for being obedient in the past. And then he told them that they had to work out their salvation. So this morning, the lesson is entitled, Work It Out. Work It Out. I want to share three important points from the text. The first is, we must work out our salvation. Are you with me, church? By definition, the phrase work out, when you look it up, the Greek word is katagozomia, and it has these meanings, three different meanings, to accomplish, to imply, something done with thoroughness, like in Ephesians 6, verse 13, where we are told to have on the full armor of God, to prepare ourselves in such a way that we are thoroughly equipped to face the enemy. It means to prepare and make ready. And it means to do, to make, perform, and to result in or bring about, like in Romans 4:14. But here's what I want us to see this morning, and that is that God is in the process of getting us prepared for what we need to be. Getting us prepared to make it to where we want to go. But we have, just like in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 2, we need to be reminded that it is for this very purpose that God is working in us. We need to understand that God has already done all that he can do without us having something to do with it. When you look at Philippians chapter 2, the first few verses talks about Jesus. It talks about how that Jesus, though he existed in the form, though he was existing as God, he was God, he was participant in the creation process, but that he divested himself, he emptied himself, and he took on a lower state. He became in the form of a human, but he was humble, even and obedient to the death on the cross. You know, when you sometimes are high up, it's just some stuff you don't do down here. Oh, but Jesus wasn't like that. Not only did he do stuff down here, he came down here so that he could be an example for you and me. And because he humbled himself, because he was obedient even unto death, the Bible says that God has highly exalted him, that God has given him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Christ Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess Jesus Christ to the glory of God. So then, verse 13, 12 and 13 is kind of coming after that to say, since God has done all of this for you, so then, beloved, just as you have always obeyed. Now, that's a commendation. Not everybody obeys, amen? Not all of your children say, yes, ma'am, and do what they're supposed to do. Okay. But they had been obedient in the past. And what he's trying to point out is, you know how to be obedient. Uh-huh. You know how because you've done it in the past. And he said, not only have you done it in the past, even when nobody was looking over your shoulder, even when nobody was right there behind your footsteps, you did it. You did it in my absence. And so now he's encouraging them. What I want you to do now then is to work out your salvation. Well, what does it mean to work out your salvation? I want us to understand that it requires something on our part. Some folks must believe that you get baptized in the water, you go to church that Sunday, and after that, that's all I got to do. My salvation, hey, I'm good. But understand something. That's the beginning of it. More is to come. What we have to do, we have to understand that there is something that only you and I can do. That's what Paul was getting at. In other words, no one can work it out for us. Your friend can't work it out for you. Your mama or daddy can't work it out for you. Your preacher can't work it out for you. The elders can't work it out for you. Only you can do it. Let me put it in another way so we might understand it. Hopefully, everyone can relate to this. There are some things that you just have to work out. Now, if you've ever played any sports, or if you get a little bit older, you've had this problem too. When a Charlie horse hits you, which is a severe cramp, when a severe cramp, a Charlie horse hits you, you ain't going to sit up there and just be still. Am I right about it? You're going to have to work it out. Amen? You're going to grab that leg. You're going to grab that arm, whatever it is, and you're going to start rubbing, and you're going to start, whoo, because the longer you sit and do nothing, the more intense the pain becomes. Isn't that right? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. All right, I thought I'd get to you. You got to work it out. You have to work it out. I'm going to hit home a little bit one more time. You know, elders and ministers, and in my years, my wife and I, we've counseled a lot of couples. But let me say something to you that is a true fact. And in case you need some counseling, you got a heads up ahead of time. Married couples can go and see a counselor time and time again. You can go see Dr. Phil, I don't care who it is. But there's one thing about counseling, and here's what it is. But things are not going to get any better between the two of you until you decide that you're going to work it out. Isn't that right? Till the couple who is having the problem make a conscious decision that, hey, babe, we need to work this thing out. It won't get no better. And I don't care how many degrees the counselor has. I don't care how much Dr. Phil get in your face and holler at you. I don't care how many programs that he can put you in. But until you decide that you're going to act right, till you decide that you're going to treat her better, till you decide you're going to start whispering in the ear, and till you decide you're going to take her on a date, till you decide that you're going to lift her up, the marriage ain't going to get any better. You got to work it out. You got to work it out. The Apostle Paul says that there has to be some effort in what we do. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Folk, we need to be working it out. We need to be working it out. The second thing I want to share with you is this. And it's important in the process of working it out. And that is that we have to work it out with fear and trembling. How we work it out is very important. Because if we don't work it out this way, it ain't going to work out. It's not going to work out. I'm going to talk about a few words here as we go forward. The word fear is phobos in the Greek. And there's fear that where you're in terror, you're trembling, shaking. There's fear as a source or occasion for fear. Then there's the reverence and a respectful act. And I think this applies more to that. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, the Bible points out that then the churches throughout Judea and all of Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you that there are things work out, and things go on, and things get better when we are allowing God to be in our lives. And when we have the proper respect, when we have the proper reverence for God. If you don't care, if you don't have enough respect for God, you know, we can be so, some folks are scared to death of God. There's some folk don't want to even come in the building. They're just afraid of anything that's religious. That's not the kind of fear that we need to have for God. It has to be a fear that is so respectful, that has reverence for God, because we know who God is. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, it talks about that one day we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and that we'll have to give an answer to the things that we've done in this body according to that which we've done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And then it goes on to say, therefore, knowing the fear of God, we persuade men. In other words, knowing that one day, this God that created everything, I'm going to stand and I'm going to have to face that God. Knowing that, we persuade men. Fear. The Apostle Paul had a healthy reverence for God. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 26, 27, Paul talks about how he did not beat the air, how that he was not shadow boxing, so to speak, but that he was keeping his body in check. He was controlling his body because he realized that while he preached to others, that he himself could be disqualified. That God had the power over him. That just because you're walking around in a three-piece suit, and just because you jumping up and down and people are waving handkerchiefs and hollering and saying everything is good, you see, God can say, you're going to hell. So Paul said, I'm going to keep my act together. I'm not going to be just fooling the folks. I'm going to be doing what God told me to do. Amen? Paul understood. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 4, in verse number 1, said these words, therefore let us fear, if while a promise of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. In other words, we can miss it. We cannot make it. As some folks in the church, we have taken on Calvinism. We think once saved, always saved. And once I did a little bit, back in whenever, I used to be this and I used to do that. I used to come on time. I used to go to the Bible study, but I don't do it now. Why don't you do it now? I'm crazy enough to ask that question. If you used to do it, what stopped you? Let me point out as I move on. In 2 Peter 1 and 17, people notice when you're working, amen? You go out and you start painting your house, and you go out and you start cutting the grass, and you start trimming it up, and you start getting the hedges done. Sometimes you might just get the neighbor out there looking at you and start cleaning up his place. Isn't it right? People notice what you do. People notice that you're working. Paul said it even of Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 through 3. He says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Hey, folks, notice God notices what you do. God knows if you're just floating along cruising, or God knows if you are really putting forth an effort, if you're doing all that you can to get better in this life. A little bit of distinction. It says fear and trembling. At first, we might just think, hey, those two are the same things. Tromos is a Greek word. And basically, this equates to being sincerely loyal. Being sincerely loyal. Being sincerely loyal to God. You fear God. Some folks fear God. Some folks respect God. They know who God is, but they're not loyal to God. When you are sincerely loyal, if it's raining outside, if it's snowing outside, if your car broke down or whatever happens, you still are trying to serve God. You are still trying to do what God wants you to do. Not, well, hey, it's snowing. Forget about that. I ain't going to church today. Is that loyalty to God? Well, it's somebody else over there. Let them do it. Is that loyalty to God? I've seen some folks break their neck to do things for folks in the world. They'll break their necks. If people, it's just like right now, it's a lot of people running all over the country, knocking on doors, doing all kind of stuff for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I just put two of them there, and that's all I'm saying about them. But my is, it's a lot of folks that don't get paid a dime. And they're putting a whole bunch of work in, and they're loyal to that individual, and I have to say this, the both of them are not the cream of the crop, but we do the best we can with what we got, and that's all I got to say. But moving on, we've got to serve God in a sincere manner. We need to realize that we must totally depend on God in order to work it out, in order to make our salvation come to fruition. Listen to a few scriptures in 1 Corinthians 3 and 13 through 15. It says, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. It's because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of every man's work. If any man work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. In other words, whatever we do, the lack thereof or the immense quantity thereof is going to be tested and judged by God. Amen? We need to understand that. And folks, it's not about us. Because if it's about us, I'll tell you the end of the story right now, we can't do nothing. We cannot do anything without God. We can't go anywhere. We can't get anywhere without God. So we depend on him. And when we get that attitude, we understand then what it's all about. Galatians 6 and 4 says, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regards to another. Don't compare what you do to what somebody else is doing. Because God has given you maybe more abilities. God has maybe given you more opportunities. And so we have to get serious with God. God, what do you want me to do? God, what can I do? And am I doing that for you, Lord? I told you this was Labor Day. It's about work, right? It's about work. And the best work that we can do, the best work that we can do is to work for the Lord. Hebrews 6 and 10, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. God remembers what we do. The best work that you can do, that you'll ever do, will be for God. I don't care if you start off, you're a janitor. You can do good work there. You might be a secretary. You can do good work there. Oh, you might be a baseball player, football player. You might be a soccer player and all the rest of those athletes. You can do a good work there. You might move on up and you might be an airplane pilot. You might be a CEO of a company. You can do a whole lot of work. You might even be an ambassador for your country. A lot of good work that can be done there. And you just might make it to the White House. You might be the President of the United States. But let me tell you something. The energy, the work that you put in can best be served by first of all serving God. Working for God, that's the best work you'll ever do. And that's the least work that most of us do. Did you get that, church? I'll move on. Allow God to work in you. Let's look at verse 13. The Bible says in verse 13, for it is God who is able to, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It is God who's at work in you. In other words, what we have to do is allow God to work in us. We have to allow God to help us work it out because we can't work it out by ourselves. Remember now, we have to work out our soul salvation. We have to work it out with fear and trembling. We have to work it out having honor, respect to God, and we have to work it out being sincere and being loyal to God. But we can't get the job done unless we let God work on us. Let me just illustrate a little bit. There's a different word there. Energeo is the word that's used in verse number 13. Means to cause, to function, to grant the ability to do, to bring about, produce. And that's what God is able to do. God is empowering. God is enabling. God is bringing forth. God is changing you from a foul mouth. God is changing you from a drunk ord. God is changing you from hanging out in the streets and hanging out at the clubs. God is working it out in you. God is causing you to want to come to church. God is causing you to have a different attitude. God is causing you to, instead of liking folks in the world, to start liking folks in the church. God is working it out. God is working in you so that your salvation might be attainable. God helps us. God is able to work it out. He completes our salvation. In Romans 8 and verse number 38, we know that all things work together for good to those who are the called according to God's purposes. God is able to keep on working it out in us. Philippians 1 and 6, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul was saying, I'm looking at you and I know that you guys can make it. I know that you have the ability because you're not by yourself. I know you have the ability because God is working with you. God is able to help you. God is able to bring it out in you. God is able to put down the bad, and God is able to bring out the good in you. Therefore, you can work it out. You can work out your salvation. Hebrews 13, 20 through 31. It says, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will. Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, put yourself in the hands of God. In other words, know that we can't be content where we are. You can't be content doing nothing for God. You can't be content not serving God in some kind of capacity. You can't be content in not letting your Christianity come out of you. You can't be content still acting the same old way you used to act, doing the same old thing you used to do, going to the same old places you used to go to. That is not going to work. You've got to work it out. And allow God to work it out. We've got to turn ourselves over into the hands of God. For that reason, as Paul said earlier, knowing what God can do, knowing the fear of God, we persuade men. I hope you got something from this lesson to encourage you and to continue to be always abounding, to be immovable, to stand firm, and to continue to work hard in the Lord. You know, there are some jobs, boy, it works us to death. We're sweating and we're tired and we're worn out. And then there are some jobs, it just thinks us to death. We come home and our brain is ready to explode. Okay. And then there's some jobs that you have to deal with people, and the people just beat up on you right and left. But that's all about work. And we get up, dust ourselves off the next day, and we go back and we do some more work. Isn't that right? But why don't we do that with God? And why don't we do that, most importantly, focus on ourselves to be about the business of doing God's will. And what the scripture simply says is that sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult. God knows that, and he's already helping us. He's helping us. If we make the determination that I'm going to work out my salvation, that God is going to be there every step of the way. He's going to give you the power. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to have people talking in your ear that you need to hear, encouraging words, whatever you need, God will give it to you. Now, doesn't that sound like it's easy? We just got to do it. Amen. We just got to do it. If you're here this morning and you are guilty distance from God, if you're here this morning and you're not in the body of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you that to begin to work out your salvation, the first thing you have to do is to acknowledge Jesus Christ, who he is, being the Son of God, that he has been highly exalted. He is at the right hand of God right now, and he is the only one, the only name in whom we can have salvation. So if you're here today, come believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we have to have a change of mind. We have to repent. We have to determine to go in a different direction. God can't do anything with us when we're going in the wrong direction. And you'll never get where you want to go going in the wrong direction. Some of us guys had that problem. The wives say, you're going wrong. You turn wrong. I ain't going wrong. I'm going right. We treat God the same way. God say, come back. Come here. And we say, nah, I ain't going wrong. I like this. It feels good. But we've got to have a change of mind. We've got to repent. And when we repent, then we begin to go in the right direction. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you're here this morning, you need to understand that you must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Confess him before men, and he will confess you before the Father which is in heaven. Deny him before men, he will deny you before his Father which is in heaven, according to Matthew chapter 10. You must be buried with Christ in baptism. Baptism seals the deal. Baptism is how you sign on the dotted line. All the blessings and everything else begins at the point of baptism. The old man is washed away. The old man is buried. The new person comes forth to walk in newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6. According to Acts 2 and verse number 47, the Lord adds you to his church. That's the only way you can get in the church. You can't get there by holding the TV. You can't get there by saying the sinner's prayer. You can't get in the church by just saying, I believe. You've got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then what happens next is what this lesson was about. Revelation 2, verse number 10. Be faithful unto death and you receive a crown that will not fade away. You've got to work it out. You've got to work on yourself, your salvation. God has put you in position to inherit it. But we have to use all of the resources that he's given in order to get there. We can't get there just doing nothing, folks. Looking good, smiling, but doing nothing won't get you there. Work it out. Work it out. And let God work in you to work it out. If you're here this morning and you need to come in any way, please come as we together stand and sing.
All my trials and all,
will you come this morning?
My cares I can tell them.
If you need to put Christ on in baptism, will you come this morning?
Lord, and heal my burdens bear.
If you need to repent of your sins, will you come
He'll
this morning?
He'll take you through the pain.
If you got a lot going in your life, going on in your life, and you just don't know how you're going to make it, why don't you come and ask for prayer this morning? If you're here and you need help, you need to come.
Only Jesus brings me hope through Oh, my trials.
Only Jesus can do it for you.
Oh, my trials. On my knees, on my knees, bowed in prayer, in prayer.
It's not too late to come. You can still come.
I take all my trials to God and gently lay them there, 'cause he still hears, he still hears, and he dries my tears.
God is here for
my
you.
My tears only, only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials. Oh, my trials. I'm burdened low, burdened low, and full of care, of care. Sorrows, sorrows weigh my shoulders down and fill me with despair. But God knows, and his mercy shows. See, shows only Jesus lifts me up through all my trials. Oh, my trials.
Amen, amen. You've been an awesome audience as you've listened to the message this morning. It's my prayer that you've been encouraged, that you've been uplifted, and that you've been edified by the things that were proclaimed. May God continue to bless and to keep you. Amen.